This is Zach Attack, and you're listening to the Niche Cast, the authority on what's good with music right now. And if you're not listening, well then, you're missing out.
Woohoo! You are listening to the Niche Cast, so I guess you're not missing out. There was so much great feedback on the last Niche Cast that I figured I'd do this a little bit more regularly. So here we go. Let's kick things off with the brand new one from Velta. Heard the latest from Velta. The song is called Cheat on Me, and last week they released a video for it. Oh my gosh, that video was just so... I feel proud to be a woman. Emily Long, who's the singer and songwriter, I've been a fan of hers for a while. She's a good friend of mine, and all of her music just really instills this girl power feeling in me, even if it's about, you know, your boyfriend cheating on you, which, hell man, that video really is a great reaction to the whole kind of thing. Anyway, you can check them out at facebook.com/VeltaBrooklyn, and they're also on Bandcamp. On their Bandcamp, they also have a great cover of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi, definitely scope that stuff out. And Cheat on Me is also a free download. You can grab that at www.nicheland.com/Velta, and that'll direct you right to the free download. You gotta do the www. I haven't fixed my site yet, so for some reason, if you don't put the www at the front, it won't work. So yeah, it's www.nicheland.com/VELTA, and that'll direct you right to a free download of Cheat on Me. So hey, you can listen to it anytime you want. Definitely check out that music video. Recently, Velta opened up for Cheap Girls in Brooklyn, and I'm so bummed that I missed that. But my friend Annie's boobs caught it. He was so taken aback by Velta that he decided to start writing reviews. And that was his first published review. It was posted on dyingscene.com. You can find him on the web under Come On and Cheer Me Up. Well, maybe I shouldn't be plugging his stuff, because tonight we're going to battle it out. We had our first round of the battle for Pop Punk Rock Alternative email last week, and there were 6 finalists. I didn't expect to win at all. I was running the whole thing, and just last minute even, I pulled up my cue. And the theme was acoustic songs, which is kind of strange, but it worked really well. And Annie's Boobs won his round, and I won my round. So we're competing tonight against DJR, Jess, Tired Tigress, and Cleo. So it's some pretty stiff competition. I'm pretty nervous, honestly. I don't really know what I'm going to play, because there's no theme. And there's so much great music. I might just pull this song out in the battle. Controlled Chaos by Hidden Hospitals.
Pretend.
chances. I hope I get my second chance to see Hidden Hospital soon. They just wrapped up an East Coast tour. They played at Fredonia in New York City, Danbury, Connecticut, and Rochester, New York. I was planning on going to the New York City show. It was at one of my favorite venues in the city, Sullivan Hall. Sullivan Hall has the best sound for a venue that size in the city, bar none. It's kind of strange, too, because usually when I go to Sullivan Hall, it's to see some kind of, like, jam funk project, and as you heard, Hidden Hospitals is not jam funk, but they are rather experimental. I've been really excited about the project since I first heard about it. They have an EP up, which they're referring to as a prototype. It's EP001, and it's on Spotify and everywhere around the web. I got my copy from Bandcamp. And EP001 quickly became my favorite new EP of 2011. I really dig Hidden Hospitals' designs. They're very to the point, clear, simple. And they keep the same kind of look throughout, whether it's the EP art or a flyer or any kind of graphic. They have a very consistent design. Even the website. I really like their presentation. You can find them on the web under the name Hidden Hospitals. And the song that I just played, Controlled Chaos, was a free download. I've got the link on www.nicheland.com/hiddenhospitals. Just go there and you can grab it and add that song to your computer, iPod, whatever listening device you use. I strongly suggest checking out that whole EP too. It's really grand, and I hope to see more of Hidden Hospitals in the future. They are a stupendous group of musicians. Although the group is based in Chicago, the members came from New York. A good chunk of the band came from Buffalo, New York's Dimeria, who were signed to Equal Vision Records. Jared Carnes, the drummer, he was in Kiss Kiss. The song title kind of makes me giggle a little bit because the only way that I could ever describe Kiss Kiss to anybody when I recommended them was organized chaos. And that's still the only way that I could think of to describe them. It's a serious bummer that Kiss Kiss is on hiatus. Their sound is truly unique, and their live shows really were something to experience. I've come across some videos on YouTube and whatnot, but none of them even captured the immense feeling of seeing Kiss Kiss live. No matter what size of the audience, they would just fucking go nuts, man. You know, they had a violinist, and as classical as that instrument is, Kiss Kiss still maintained a serious rock persona. There were several times where I saw them, and at the end of the set, they would just pile up on stage, like, not even missing a beat, still playing their instruments and jump all over the place. And one thing that I really appreciate is Michael from Kiss Kiss. He's now in the Venetia Fair, and they seem to have taken some hints from Kiss Kiss, and my God, they're fucking nutty. I have a video from when I saw them play Warped Tour, and I'm pretty sure the singer pissed his pants. You know, I've got to upload it at some point. I have a lot of videos from Warped Tour 2011. I really got a kick out of seeing the Venetia Fair. The lead singer-songwriter of Kiss Kiss, Josh Benash, recently put out his first solo record, and that's also on Bandcamp. Nicheland wrote the first review of that. Yeah, well, before I get too wrapped up talking about Kiss Kiss, I think in the future I'm going to dedicate a whole podcast to it because they're that worth it. Anyway, if you're in the Midwest area and you see Hidden Hospitals are coming through, don't even hesitate. Just go and see them and tell me how it is because I'm pretty fucking pissed that I missed that. Anyway, the first time that I heard of Hidden Hospitals, I saw that they were opening for the Chicago date of Hot Rod Circuit's reunion tour. I went to the New York City date, but all of the openers throughout the tour were completely different. Hot Rod Circuit have been on my mind lately. Well, more so Andy Jackson from Hot Rod Circuit. I'm not too sure what he's up to these days. The last I checked, he was recording bands in his home studio in Alabama. For like a year and a half, I would see and chat with Andy Jackson about once a month, because he was in Terrible Things. Terrible Things are pretty much what I've been thinking about lately. I stuck their debut CD in my CD player the other day, and I just could not stop crying. It's a bummer that they couldn't stick around in that formation. But I mean, those dudes were touring constantly. It didn't seem to be working out for them. I saw Terrible Things with so many great bands, like Story of the Year and Anne Berlin. I saw them with The Sleeping and Bayside. It was Streetlight Manifesto, Automatic Love Letter. I'm seriously missing my monthly Terrible Things shows. Well, here, why don't we listen to a Terrible Things track? Here is Up All Night off of their debut album, Terrible Things, which was released on Universal Motown Records on August 31st, 2010.
So sure, am I prepared? But that's not what keeps me up at night. People say that I must be dumb if I let you down. Well, I'm sorry, son, but that's not what keeps me up at night. No, that's not what keeps me up at night. I've been trying for 8 hours, and an hour for maybe two. Now the sun is at my window. Where were you? Burning, burning bright. Our eyes wide open. I bet you could see our town from space that night. People talk like I should have stayed, should have played those cards, but I played it out in my head. And I might as well have ended up dead.
Thank you, Fred, Josh, and Andy. When I saw Terrible Things in 2011 at the Warped Tour, Fred Mascherino shared that that song was about his last job. Before Terrible Things started, Fred was performing under the name The Color Fred, and Andy Jackson was working on his project, Death in the Park. Death in the Park actually has a song with Hayley Williams of Paramore. But yeah, they actually met Fred and Andy at a show The Color Fred was performing at in Alabama. Andy was working the soundboard. And it's kind of funny because those two have been on records together. Like, Say Anything's double album, they're both on that. And I think Andy did some engineering on that record. Obviously, he must not have engineered the song that Fred was on. But either way, yeah, they first met at this show in 2009. And legend has it, they just completely hit it off. Anyway, Up at Night at Warped Tour, Fred said that that song was about his last job. I don't know if you know anything about Fred Mascherino, but his last job was singing and playing guitar and writing songs in Taking Back Sunday. Some of their biggest hits were penned by Fred. Even funnier, actually, for a while there, after John Nolan left, there were rumors abound that his place was going to be filled by Hot Rod Circuit's Andy Jackson. Obviously, that fell through, and Fred took his place. Before joining Taking Back Sunday, Fred was in Breaking Pangea. And that's actually how Fred and Josh met. Breaking Pangea took out Coheed and Cambria on their first major tour. Coheed was opening for Breaking Pangea. And there's actually some Breaking Pangea sensibility in the Taking Back Sunday albums that Fred was on. Well, actually, you know what? I could just keep going and going. I should probably have a whole episode of the Niche Cast dedicated to the whole Terrible Things circle. Oh my gosh, all these ideas! This is so exciting! Episode number 2, and I'm already getting all these crazy ideas for new episodes. Well, hey, you know what? I'm gonna kick it old school right now. Last Tuesday was the 11th anniversary of Thursday's album, Full Collapse. Full Collapse was one of those albums that just totally made me open my eyes and turn the radio the fuck off. It was really cool that they came from near me, so I was able to see them frequently. And when I had a group of friends who would go to shows together, because what could we do when we were 15? Go to the mall. So we started going to shows, and Thursday was a band that we'd frequently check out. I've come to realize, you know, Thursday means a lot to not just me and my group of friends from that time, but also a lot of people who listen to this kind of alternative post-hardcore emo music. Now, I wouldn't really consider Thursday to be emo, more so post-hardcore, but still, there's so much emotion in Thursday's music. And they grew so much. I kind of ignored the last two, three albums. And I feel so guilty for that now that they're on hiatus. But it makes sense. Because, like, for instance, the other day I was talking to my 19-year-old nephew. And he's a big Asking Alexandria fan. And to me, that's just like, wow. But I mean, I used to listen to nu metal, so whatever. Thursday was one of those bands that made me realize how bad nu metal is. And just, wow, I can't believe that it's been 11 years. That this album has just been with me. You know, there's no experience like a Thursday show, especially in Jersey. Now, I've seen them in New York City and stuff like that, but nothing ever amounted to a hometown show. You know, there's just so much passion and energy from the band and within the crowd. I was lucky enough to catch their last Jersey show. When was that, in December? Yeah, I think that was in December. Shit, man, before they even kicked into the first verse, I was on the floor with a fat lip. Like, it's such an intense crowd. And I love it. Just everybody feeling the emotion. You know, everybody's problems just dissipating as we all unite over this common thread that helps keep us going. Music is powerful. It is. But anyway, I digress. My 19-year-old nephew, I tried talking to him about music and stuff like that. I guess he never heard Thursday. It's like, what? That blows my mind. How could you have never heard Thursday? I could swear that they're like a staple. Maybe that's just me. Anyway, here's one of the first Thursday songs that I heard. Well, maybe you haven't heard Thursday before. Well, that's okay. Well, we're gonna listen to one of my favorite Thursday songs together, right now. Without further ado, here's Understanding in a Car Crash by Thursday.
Split
So as we're all intense and emotional right now, I'd like to share with you a more recent song that brought me back to earth. It's really difficult to listen to this without crying. Fuck, I'm getting the chills just anticipating playing this right now. Off of one of my favorite albums from 2011, here is Tired Tiger by Moving Mountains. Is that song? Oh my gosh. Tire Tiger and the rest of Waves really got me through a very tough time. A friend of mine dragged me out to see them open for Oh Brother, La Dispute, and Thrice. I'm so thankful for that, Dan. Really. Because seeing that show made me feel again. It reminded me how wonderful it is to feel alive and just experience heart and art. And for that moment, just connect with complete strangers. I'm also grateful for that show because a few weeks later was when Thursday and Thrice both announced their hiatuses, so I got my chance to see Thrice. They still have one more tour left, but I don't think I'll be able to afford that. I'm okay with that, because that experience was worth it. I hadn't seen Thrice since the Artist in the Ambulance era, and my gosh, I felt so proud watching them. Musically, Thrice has matured beautifully over the years. Their album Major Minor is also one of my favorite releases from 2011. Doesn't hit me nearly as hard as Waves does, but it's still a great note to go out on, nonetheless. It's funny. I've known about Moving Mountains for a while. They're from my area, went to the same college that I went to, SUNY Purchase, in Purchase, New York. But I never quite crossed paths with them. The first time that I did was in 2009, when I decided to put together a digital compilation of great music from the Hudson Valley. I reached out to Moving Mountains and I asked them to contribute a track to this. At this time, they were still relatively unsigned. I believe they may have been on Deep Elm for their digital distribution, but they were still super underground. The track that they sent me to include in the compilation was With One's Heart in One's Mouth, off of Forward. The whole compilation is still up. I called it Butterflies and Butcher Knives Volume 1, Hudson Valley, New York, which comes from an image Weird Science's lyrics depicts in the song The Blueprint. You can download Butterflies and Butcher Knives from bubk.nicheland.com. And that's got the free Moving Mountains download, as well as a bunch of other stuff from my area. Now, despite having gone to the same college and putting out a compilation with MoveMau, I didn't get the chance to see them until that Thrice show. It's kind of funny because I tried a bunch of times, and there was always something that came up. 2011 was a great year for them. They got signed to Triple Crown Records, and they were included on the Full Warped Tour. Now, I mentioned earlier that I went to Warped Tour. I didn't go to Warped Tour for years. I think my last one was 2004. And at that point, I felt like I was too old and I was just over it. But I went to 4 dates in 2011 because Josh Eppard was pulling double duty, playing drums with Terrible Things, and also on his first U.S. tour as Weird Science. So I went to 4 dates to go and support. Plus, I was fucking proud to see Weird Science on a big stage. After all those failures with booking and whatnot, it was fucking amazing to see Weird Science on stage. Anyway, despite going to 4 dates, I totally missed Moving Mountains every time. I can remember one of the times I was sitting with Fred and Josh, and they were doing like an acoustic sessions recording for AbsolutePunk.net. And I could hear in the background, With One's Heart in One's Mouth. I was like, holy shit, that's the fucking song that's on my compilation. This is so cool. But yeah, that was the end of their set. And then the Scranton date. Wow, that place was so packed. By the time I finally got to like the blow-up schedule with the times and everything, I saw that Moving Mountains' set had just started. So I rushed to the stage. Was it like the Nintendo stage or something? Whichever stage that had two stages, the amphitheater one. And by the time I finally got my way through that tight-ass crowd, the set was completely over. It's like, what? It took me a whole set to get from one side to the other, and okay, yeah, I was bummed. But I'm kind of glad that I didn't see them on Warped, and then I finally had that experience with Thrice. You know, it's really cool to me that Moving Mountains are heading out on tour now with Pianos Become the Teeth and Coheed and Cambria. It's like everything's coming full circle. You know, and I'm really stoked that Josh is back in Coheed. It seems so perfect. And the first date of that tour is April 29th in Virginia. I must go to that. After all these years, after all the heartache, all the stress, all of the beautiful art that emerged, all of the wonderful relationships forged, sadness has lifted. And fucking Josh Eppard is back in Coheed and Cambria, holy shit! I'm so proud of him. That fucker got clean, and he got his life back. That is some true inspiration. One person who definitely deserves a thanks is MC Lars. He helped finally get Sick Kids out, after years of it just being shelved, and allowed Josh's story to be heard. You know, if you listen to Sick Kids, it really is a confessional. Aside from the brilliant musicianship, the catchy hooks, the witty bits, Sick Kids is true heart work. And MC Lars helps that be realized. That Weird Science Warped Tour set was shared with MC Lars. They didn't perform this song, but this is the one that first introduced me to him, back in the days of the launch cast CDs that I would get in the mail. It's like a music magazine CD-ROM thing. From his 2004 EP, the Laptop EP, this is MC Lars's iGeneration on the Niche Cast.
And people tried to put us down when iTunes bumped the post-Cold War sound. A generation set at the mecca of malls, Times Square, I'm there, Viacom installs. So we hit the net while the Trade Center fell. New York met Hollywood, we ran like hell. No Vietnam for us, yo, Iraq, it's on. So who agreed upon this cowboy Genghis Khan? The choice made, baby, hey, we take it back. Logged in, dropped out, MTV took track. They sold it back to us and claimed a correlation. The iMac, iPod, iGeneration. And I'm waiting for the day we can get out. The world is ours, that's a story, no doubt. No doubt. Wanna be more than info superhighway traffic? Wanna be more than a walking demographic?
Hey! We're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah! We're part of it!
Talking about my I generation.
Hey! We're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah! We're part of it!
Talking about my I generation. The I generation, new organization, meant optimization and unification. When imagination gave participation in creation of culture, a manifestation. The Berlin Wall fell and out we came. The post-Cold War kids laid claim to aim. LOL, OMG, yo, BRB. Space colon dash close parentheses. We sat at our laptops and typed away and found that we each had something to say. Weblogged our fears, our hopes and dreams, individuated by digital means. Fiber optic lenses, DVD, Coca-Cola, Disney, and Mickey D's. Flat mass culture, the norm that took hold. I hope I die before I get sold.
Hey! We're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah! We're part of it!
Talking about my I generation.
Hey! We're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Yeah! We're part of it!
Talking about my I generation.
Hey! Yeah! We're part of it!
Talking about the I generation.
Thank you, Lars. You can grab the Laptop EP at any price that you desire at mclars.bandcamp.com. Heck, you can even put in $0 and get the files in any format you can possibly desire. I fucking love Bandcamp, man. For a while there, I was stuck because I thought that SoundCloud was better. It took me a little while to see the difference between the two and how they're both helpful. If you're an independent musician, I strongly suggest putting your music out on Bandcamp. Fuck iTunes and all that. Well, I mean, not fuck iTunes, because this podcast is, you can subscribe to it through iTunes. But I mean, they take so much money from you. So does Amazon. It's virtually impossible to make anything off any music sales. But with Bandcamp, for the most part, the artist gets everything. There's a small fee. You know, this also goes out to everybody who loves music. Buying an artist's music off Bandcamp is almost as good as buying merch from the table. You know, going to Hot Topic and stuff like that. Don't do that. Hot Topic gets most of the money. It's great to support your artists. That way they can stick around and keep making the music that we love. Anyway, that classic banger from my homeboy MC Lars features a sample from Piebald's American Hearts. I even read somewhere that, like, John Mayer credits Lars to the whole iGeneration terminology. We are the iGeneration. This whole thing here with me talking about music and playing it and you listening to all of this. This is the iGeneration. Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world to me. I feel like I have a lot to say, and some of it is interesting. So thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this and, you know, check back. I've got all these ideas now for new episodes. I'm going to keep doing this. The Niche Cast. Anyway, follow Lars everywhere. He always has interesting things to say on Facebook and Twitter and Ping. His entire discography is on Bandcamp, so you can just listen to it all right there. And thank you again, Lars, for, among many other things, renewing my interest in the Warped Tour. I learned that you're never really too old for a Warped Tour, even though it kind of seems like a teenage Disneyland. There were a lot of gems that I found. You know, clearly I did my research first, so I kind of had an idea of the bands that I wanted to see. And I made sure to see as many of them as possible, which is kind of hard to do with what, there's like 7 or 8 stages now. It's crazy. Back in the day, there were like 5 stages, and that was wild. One of the stages doesn't even have a schedule on the big blow-up thing, the DeZambo stage, where the local bands play. And the smaller ones, like, that's where the Venetia Fair played. The 2012 Warped lineup seems pretty dope, though. I mean, there's a lot of variety. Hell, there's Lost Prophets, remember them? Last Train Home? Rise Against? Taking Back Sunday and Yellow Card? Which totally brings me back to my 2004 memories. Newfound Glory, too. The Anti-Flag is playing. Fucking Streetlight Manifesto on the main stage. Hell yeah. Got Transit and Senses Fail. Who else am I stoked about? There's Bayside. High Road to Hero. I'm really interested about High Road to Hero, actually, because his band is, like, fucking awesome. There's dudes from Sparta and At the Drive-In and the Blood Brothers in his band. I'm curious to see if they're actually going on tour with him. And if so, shit. That was like Weird Science and MC Lars last year. They had a band. A fucking awesome band. But like, if you go see Maylene and the Sons of Disaster nowadays, you'll catch MC Lars' drummer,
John Longley,
filling in for them on drums. It would be cool to see I Am the Avalanche at Warped, Machine Gun Kelly, Polar Bear Club, and Pierce the Veil. Tonight Alive, they rep Australia. Hell yeah. Van is playing this year in Title Fight. There's Wax in Hudson Valley's We Are the In Crowd. But really, one of the bands that I am most interested in seeing is this one right here.
Thanks, Lord, but I don't need any more.
We just listened to Revival Mode by Every Time I Die. That song is the second single, I believe, off of Every Time I Die's newest album, X Lives. X Lives came out a few weeks ago. We actually had a full album listening party in pop, punk, rock, alternative, emo on the day that it came out, and listened to the whole thing together. That's one badass album. And the video for Revival Mode, that's some cool-ass shit. The storyline is great, and the twist ending. I don't want to give away too much, but it's a great video. It's like a short film. But yeah, that Buffalo band is a huge draw to Warped Tour 2012 for me. I have not yet had the opportunity to see Every Time I Die live, but they have quite the reputation. Speaking of festivals and the iGeneration, this past weekend was Coachella. I know everybody's talking about the hologram of Tupac, which, if you ask me, is pretty fucking creepy. It seems like a lot of money for what? I'm sure it was cool in person, but I don't know about that. It's a little weird to me to kind of resurrect the dead and have them put on a performance. But hey, to each his own. I guess the kids nowadays don't know who Tupac is, and Dre's gotta remind everybody. But I'll tell you what, my 19-year-old nephew knows who Tupac is, even though he didn't know Thursday. Coachella and YouTube did this really cool thing where they streamed the entire festival, pretty much. They had 3 different screens that we at home could flip through and check out what was currently on stage. And through that, I vicariously was able to experience Refused's reunion after 14 years of not playing together. Man, that shit was wild. It sounded like they never missed a beat. It was just so perfect. It's funny, because I guess when Refused were around and pursuing the band as their priority, they didn't draw in a very large crowd. They didn't have a large fan base. When they broke up, they had posted a letter explaining how they played the music that they believed in. And then their last show was in a basement in Virginia. There were about 40 people there before the cops came and broke it up. That's such a vast difference compared to the thousands of people who watched Coachella, who were there physically at that time, and who, like myself, streamed it from home. The Swedish band have been very influential in music. They themselves were categorized as hardcore punk, but they really helped shape the sound of post-hardcore. It sounds like Thursday took some tips from them. I found that letter that Refused wrote before they went on their, before they broke up. You can read that for yourself at www.nicheland.com/refused. As much as I would have really enjoyed being at Coachella, the whole streaming from home experience was wonderful. I saw that it was raining and there were people in ponchos, and I've been to outdoor shows where it rained before. It's not very pleasant, especially when you wear glasses. I was very comfortable at home in my pajamas, moshing with my puppy in my living room, completely dry, and being able to see is a plus. I'm pretty short. When I go to shows, I can't see. I've kind of come to terms with that. I don't even like try and tippy toe and stuff because it doesn't really help. Unless I get there early and I go all the way to the front and get crushed. But that Refused performance really was nothing short of spectacular. I'm so inspired now to catch one of those reunion shows that they're playing in a few weeks in New York City, and I think there's one in Pennsylvania. I'm determined now to track down a ticket to go and experience one of the forefathers of my favorite genre. One of my favorite genres. Out of all the songs that Refused performed at Coachella, this was probably my favorite. Off of the 1998 album, The Shape of Punk to Come, this is Refused with Liberation Frequency.
It's coming through the air. Oh, oh. We got more coming right now. There's more coming. We're gonna get a little sort of a session going here. A bit of a session. A session that will feature the rhythm section.
Yes! I want Refused on the airwaves. All of the time. There was another hugely buzzed about reunion, also at Coachella, the following night. Was it the following night? No, I think it was two nights later. Yesterday. That was the At the Drive-In reunion. I'll admit, I was more excited to hear about the At the Drive-In reunion than the Refused reunion. I got into At the Drive-In pretty late. I thought that I would never have the chance to see them. I still think that I never have the chance to see them, because they seem to be only playing these tremendous, well-paid festivals. You know, I would love for them to do like a small club tour, but I don't really see that happening anytime soon. Especially if some of the dudes are going to be on the Warped Tour with High Road to Hero, and the Mars Volta just released their new album, Nocturnicate. It doesn't really look like there's going to be much for At the Drive-In in the future other than these reunion shows. It's kind of a bummer that I completely missed the stream of their set, but at least I have the sold clip. Fucking love that, man. That was like the main video on my YouTube page for years until they changed up the whole format. But I'm rather content listening to the old albums. I still have to spend some quality time with the new Mars Volta record. Is Sparta up to anything lately? Well, probably not because of the dudes in High Road to Hero. Either way, there's another kind of reunion show thing, celebration, that I'm really looking forward to. And it's going to be really hard to get tickets. Glassjaw recently announced that they are going to play their entire 2002 breakout album, Worship and Tribute, in full at Irving Plaza on the day it was released. 10 years later. Tickets go on sale on 4/20. So I guess I gotta wake up and freak out. Get all nervous and sit there on Ticketmaster.com until... to make sure that I get myself a ticket. I had already planned to spin the full album on that day in the pop punk rock alternative emo turntable room. But fuck, if I can go and see it live, somebody else might have to spin it. Now, Glassjaw's been like in and out of hiatus, and it's so confusing. I have no idea what the fuck they're up to. But at the same time, as anxious as I am for a release, I enjoy their methods of making us wait. You know, I don't know what they're up to. I'm sure that they have a lot on their plate. You know, the lead singer, Daryl Palumbo, has Crohn's disease, which is pretty fucked up. I had a friend in college who had Crohn's disease, and it was just not pretty. Like, there's been a few times that I went to see Head Automatica, but I wasn't able to see them perform because Daryl Palumbo had a flare-up. You know, there's also all sorts of other reasons for Glassjaw to not have a set release schedule. And I really don't mind it. As long as they're staying independent and putting out great music. They did this really cool thing in 2010 where they released a vinyl single a month and concluded it all with a digital EP of those vinyl singles, as well as an announcement for a whole tour where all of the attendees could walk away with a copy of a physical EP with completely new songs. The songs that were on the digital EP, they had been performing. I saw a few of them in 2006, but the EP that I got for going to see them, everything was brand new. And fuck, man, I could not stop listening to it. Between that and Athletics' Why Aren't I Home, my early 2011 was very awesome. And then seeing those songs live, oh my gosh. You know, this next song that I'm going to play, there's a lot of parts that I could have sworn was like a keyboard. But when they performed it, it was just a guitar with a lot of effects. It was fucking cool, man. I loved feeling the wind from the bass amp. It was just so thunderous. I fucking love Glassjaw. I'm sure that they, as well as Thursday, took some hints from Refused. Actually, some of the dudes from Thursday and some of the dudes from Glassjaw, plus some of the dudes from Converge, have an experimental power violence punk screamo supergroup thing called United Nations. I wonder if they're gonna put out anything new, since Thursday's on hiatus and Glassjaw doesn't have any definitive news about a new release. That music was a little hard for me to get into, but once I started listening to more hardcore and screamo, I've come to really enjoy it. Well, here's one of my favorite songs from the EP that I got for seeing Glassjaw in 2011. Off of the coloring book, this is Vanilla Poltergeist Snake. Song. Holy shit, how nasty is that? I wrote up details on the whole story of that EP and everything a while back. You can check that out at www.nicheland.com/glassjaw. Oh, damn. I've been having so much fun talking and sharing songs that I've totally lost track of time. This episode is like double the length of the last one. Thank you for hanging on and bearing with me here. You know, this whole thing started as an experiment, and with all the great feedback and all these ideas that I have now, I'd like to keep doing this. Regularly, I'm thinking, like, once a week. So check back next week, niche.podomatic.com. Or, you know, you could just follow me on twitter.com/niche or facebook.com/nicheland. And all of the new episodes will be posted there as well. There's a way to subscribe through iTunes, so when there's a new episode, it will automatically be downloaded into your library. That's through the Podomatic page. It's cool as shit. I'm still trying to gain my footing here. I think this episode kind of got off to a rocky start. I made one mistake that I want to fix that's, like, bothering me. I accidentally said that Andy Jackson was rumored to take John Nolan's place in Taking Back Sunday. Oops. But it's all rumors anyway, so... But I feel dumb making a mistake, like a rumor. But the rumor was that Andy was replacing Fred and taking Fred's place. And before I sign off here, I'd like to give a shout out to The Pip Show for giving me the courage to record my voice.
Bam!
I've done some backup vocal spots on some songs, and like each time I was so nervous. It's like, no one wants to hear me. I can't. But at this point, I'm just interested in sharing music and stories. So why the fuck not? If you check out The Pip Show, facebook.com/PIPSHOW, he's on every Thursday, and I guess I'm a frequent caller. He spins some dope tunes and has some pretty funny guests. But yeah, thank you, Pip. And also thank you, Zach, for that wonderful intro. Thank you. And thank you, and thank you for listening. Make sure to check back next week for episode 3 of the Nichecast. Also, make sure to check out all of the great artists that I played on this episode and the last one. Velta, Hidden Hospitals, Terrible Things, Thursday, Moving Mountains, MC Lars, Every Time I Die, Refuse, Glassjaw, Session 606, Rise Against, The Killing Tree, Athletics, Loud, Three, go out to some shows. Support your local scene, because if you don't, who will? Rock the fuck on. Much love. Niche out.